Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Everybody's got to look long and hard and ask themselves this question right now, where we currently sit in the world. Are they the one, or is it just quarantine? Because Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agumake, we have got what I believe right now in the NBA. We have leaned into the relationship angle on this James Harden and Russell Westbrook stuff, Janae. And it feels like a situation where everybody involved, the Rockets and these two superstars, might be looking out thinking that the grass is greener when it might just be quarantine and coming out of a bubble that have got them bottled up.
Yeah, I think that might be it. You come out of a bubble and then you start thinking about life. Like, was that situation for real? For real? Is like that what we're going to do? Are we going to go the distance? And I think the Rockets were like, hold up. Wait a minute. I don't know about this.
They're trying to figure it all out right now. So to help us figure all of that out, in about 10 minutes, we'll continue to try and unpack what's going on with Doug Peterson and the Philadelphia Eagles right now, because he had a chance to squash something and didn't. And if there's anything we need to read in from that, as we offer relationship counseling to everybody in pro sports today, we will get to that in just about 10 minutes here. But to help us sort out what's going on in Houston and across the NBA right now, we're delighted to be joined by our ESPN NBA front office insider, Amin El-Hassan, on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Amin, let's start there. How surprised are you that James Harden and Russell Westbrook have been so disgruntled in Houston right now?
Not surprised at all, to be honest with you. A little surprised after the hiring of Steven Silas. I thought that was a move to kind of placate them after they clearly didn't want our colleague Jeff Van Gundy to be their next head coach. So I already knew that there was kind of some feelings of angst, if you will, in Houston between those two guys. Obviously, that report that came out by The Athletic, where everybody else is upset too, hardly surprising, because it's the kind of stuff that happens from team to team. I don't think that's as shocking. I think that a lot of teams or the role players feel like, you know, this ain't right, or my contract ain't right, or the way we play ain't right. So all in all, not a complete shock, but I am a little surprised that Steven Silas wouldn't at least get a chance to prove himself to those guys.
Here with Amin El-Hassan, our own NBA ESPN front office insider. Now, Amin, now that we're looking at this situation in its totality, there's unsettling information about how these guys are really feeling, and it's not just one or two players, it's top to bottom. What do you think is the best scenario for either James Harden in this moment or Russell Westbrook?
Honestly, I think the best scenario is if they stay. I think Steven Silas is a smart coach, a prepared coach, and a great communicator. And I think at the very least you give him a chance to make it work, to make it work better, to try something different before you figure out that you got to get the hell out of here. Because if you really think about things, the general manager is not the same general manager. The coach is not the same coach. So if you're not happy here in Houston as an organization, there have been organizational changes. Why would you give up before you find out what they have to say? As far as if they're like, you know what I mean? I hate Texas. I hate the city of Houston.
Slander. No slander here. No Houston slander.
And they said that to me. And they said there's nothing those guys can do. Well, then, I think for James, obviously, there are a lot more landing spots everywhere. This guy's been top five MVP voting for about 5 years in a row now. So the most obvious location, I guess, would be Philadelphia to team up with Joel Embiid, perhaps in a package for Ben Simmons. Russell Westbrook is harder because he's got about $130 million owed over the next 3 years. And he's a guy who relies on explosiveness and athleticism in his game, and he's getting older. And so that's a little bit of a risk in terms of getting a guy who might be on the decline here. So if you're looking for places that would be interested, I think any team that has problems selling tickets, any team that perhaps is owned by an individual who has an endorsement deal with Russell Westbrook, I'm not naming names, I'm saying maybe that might be a nice landing spot for us.
Just maybe, if you're into those kind of things. Amin El-Hassan with us here on Janae and Golic Jr. And Amin, to that end, outside of instances like that, when you look at the landscape of the NBA going into free agency right now, between maybe a lesser crop of priority top free agents than usual and an abbreviated period, you think teams are going to be less likely to go out here and swing big for something in an abbreviated offseason?
No. Quite the opposite. I think people see the opportunity to get better, and there are several big names out there, whether it's Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, Jrue Holiday, guys that are available. And so I think teams will be aggressive to go out and acquire available talent. It may not be in free agency. It might be a trade. And then the other thing is you've got these lesser teams that have cap space that would be more than happy to facilitate for someone else to get a deal done because they might get assets in return. So look at Atlanta, look at the New York Knicks. They've got an opportunity to kind of be a facilitator and make themselves better and fix up their asset situation. So I expect there to be a lot of activity in the next 3 weeks or so.
And speaking of these potential moves, one of the rumblings we're hearing today is possibly DeMar DeRozan to the Lakers. Do you think that this could be something that works out? And I also want to get your take on potentially Chris Paul to Phoenix Suns as well.
Yeah, I think DeMar, obviously he's from L.A., the Compton guy, would be a great homecoming for him. The problem is, Shanae, he makes a lot of money in that last year of his deal, which is a player option, obviously. If he picks up the player option, which why wouldn't he? It'll take a lot to get him traded to the Lakers, who are very outside of LeBron and AD, who obviously aren't going anywhere. It's harder to come up with all the salaries to add up to match for DeMar. So the only other way is if DeMar declines his player option and comes and signs for like a mid-level exception, and that's a lot of money to give up just to come home a year early. He could do that next year if he wanted. As far as Chris Paul goes, there aren't many situations where I would say it's a no-brainer for the team to acquire Chris Paul, and that's not a knock on him. He was on my MVP ballot this year. But, again, he makes $85 million over the next 2 years, and he's 35 years old. Now, he's a little better off than Russell Westbrook because he's been a ground-bound kind of guile and shiftiness game, not an explosiveness game for quite a while now, but still a lot of money to rely on his body to not, you know, collapse. Having said that, Phoenix has a credibility issue. In the sense that, you know, you got Devin Booker, who there have been rumblings and rumors that he may not want to be here much longer if winning doesn't start happening soon. And I know they went 8-0 in the bubble, but they went 26-39 outside of the bubble. And that Phoenix Suns team didn't disappear or right over the sunset. They're the same guys who are in that locker room. So if you want to show Devin Booker we're serious about winning, and if you want to bring in someone who will hold people accountable and speak with a level of credibility in that locker room that no one will question, I think Chris Paul is actually a good fit there.
Awesome information. You can check him out on Twitter, at Darth Amin. You can check him out all across ESPN as well. Amin, appreciate the time, man. Thanks.
Thanks, Amin.
No problem. Yo, Gojo, real quick question, man. The Sneakers app smiled upon me this morning. Does this mean I should give the Sneakers app and return it into my life and act like nothing happened?
Oh, absolutely.
I just feel like I'm going to get my heart broken again.
You know what? We have to learn to forgive. We have to allow people back into our lives. I mean, I think it's time.
Yeah, these are problems that NASCAR Shanae doesn't have.
Oh, goodness. She's
got sponsorship boxes. NASCAR Shanae's got logos all over her house.
See, that's a nickname that I don't like. So there we go. NASCAR Nay.
But it's going to stick. Thanks, Amin. We appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Amin.
All right, guys.
Amin El-Hassan, our ESPN NBA front office insider, joining us on Shanae and Golic Jr. Listen, that app is one of the more difficult relationships in my life, Shanae. So I'm glad someone else around here in Amin understands my pain.
Yeah, because I don't know what that's like. I'm good. I think I just got a shipment of 6 Ivy Park kicks yesterday. See, that I just opened up.
I don't need you to like throw this in my face now.
I'm
that
sorry.
Just seems like
I'm sorry. Shout out to Maddie.
Cool.
Maddie Ornstill. My plug.
They just throwing shout outs to the plug on here now while me and Amin El-Hassan are going to just work on this
good
app,
luck.
Trying to just find our way through the struggle
okay.
Right here, right now.
No, okay. The NBA, especially now because that was our conversation, is like the Hunger Games these days. So in that spirit, may the odds ever be in your favor on that app.
Let's hope the odds stick around in my favor on that app and in everywhere else. No, not the dating apps, guys. Far more important apps than that in the world that I live in.
Not to our parents.
That is for damn sure. Hope you're not listening to this, Mom. I'm sorry again. All right. Speaking of relationships, though, Shanae, I've always said this about a locker room is one of the most important things in any locker room is I don't want to make problems for my teammates with what I say. I don't want the first question they're asked in media availability to be about something I've said. Well, coming up next, we'll tell you why that needs to apply to coaches as well, because there's one that we don't believe did enough to put a lid on a situation. We'll get to that next. It's Shanae Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Shanae Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Shanae Igwumike. And coming up in about 10 minutes, Shanae, you don't know I always kind of lose my composure around here anytime we can get another big boy on here. And we are going to go super big, like Anthony Munoz big, Hall of Fame offensive tackle big. Very excited and jacked up to talk to him about their matchup against the Steelers this weekend, the Cincinnati Bengals, and what he's seen out of their rookie Joe Burrow so far.
Yeah, I know big boys always get a lot of love here. And so do big girls. Your girl's 6'3"-ish, I guess. I sort of spilled my own tea on that. But yeah, 6'3"-ish.
Post an offensive lineman, they always have a home in this show. And that's what we always want. We always want to create that environment where we can have those conversations, because we mentioned we come from locker rooms. We have that understanding of the people that at times don't get the love and the pleasure and the things that they deserve, the kudos. And so we want to keep that up. And so we also want to enlighten people on when things get said and what those reactions look like in the locker room. And that's what we feel like we've got a situation brewing here in Philadelphia, Shanae, because Doug Peterson had to face something in the way of comments about his quarterback, and I want to start with that. Carson Wentz has been a lightning rod quarterback for probably the last 2 or 3 years now, and so when someone like a Hall of Famer, another Hall of Famer in Brett Favre, appears on First Take and talks about the age-old decision, one that we already went through, of Nick Foles or Carson Wentz, and says this, why it all of a sudden becomes a situation.
I actually thought that they should have kept Nick Foles rather than Carson Wentz, just based off of production and where they got to. You know, they won a Super Bowl with Foles, and that was a little bit surprising. But they're obviously banking on his upside. You know, how many more years do you let it linger before you stick with him or you cut bait?
So, Shanae, that was what we heard from Brett Favre on First Take. And so you'd imagine Brett Favre, a guy that Doug Peterson knows very well, would look up in this situation. It's probably going to end up in Doug Peterson's lap. And then, Shanae, you know this as well as anybody. You're still currently inside a professional locker room. As soon as the coach says something about a player, where's the first place the media is running after that?
Oh, straight to that player to ask him, did you hear? Oh, yeah.
That's always how it tends to work in these situations. And so let's take a look at what Doug Peterson's response was in this situation and what it shows us and reminds us about the way locker rooms work in a segment called Coach Speak.
What some people say ain't always what they mean.
We all have a job to do. We're going to have to count on everybody to do their job.
Consider this a translation.
I think we're working at it, and we'll see where we're at on Sunday.
Coach Speak with Shanae and Golic Jr.
Coach Speak is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. I say Brett Favre and Doug Peterson know each other very well. They were teammates in Green Bay. And so when Brett Favre goes on First Take and says, I'm surprised that they kept Carson Wentz over Nick Foles, this ends up in Doug Peterson's laps. And again, we lived in locker rooms, so we want to help everyone kind of translate and work through this situation. So here was Doug Peterson, the Philadelphia Eagles head coach, when he was asked about all of this at his presser.
Doug, Brett Favre offered the opinion yesterday that you guys should have kept Nick Foles over Carson Wentz. And, you know, his comments arguably offer, you know, have a little bit more weight since you guys are tight. Just curious what your reaction to his comments are.
I respect Brett's opinion. You know, I mean, yeah, we are friends, but I haven't talked to him, and he's entitled to that. And that's about it.
So, Shanae, in these situations, in a press conference, when you're asked something, I'll put it to you. You're asked something about a teammate like that. What's the first thing that you're doing in that instance?
I'm punting. No pun intended. Like, I'm not going to say, first of all, if I knew what I was saying was probably going to implicate my friend, I probably wouldn't say it in the first place. But I feel like it's cool because what Doug Peterson did there is he didn't say much so that it was like an indictment on Brett. He sort of was like, look, he has his own opinions, but big picture here, he has a job to do in Doug Peterson. And so I'm looking at this situation where he did a pretty good job deflecting. But if you look at the situation from the big picture here when it comes to the Eagles, ever since they won the Super Bowl, was it 2017? In 2017, they've been 21, 18, and 1. And so in the situation after where, okay, Carson Wentz is trying to find his way back, you're seeing it's not been easy for Nick Foles either. I know that we were all excited that he'd have an opportunity to have, you know, his own team at the helm with the Bears, but it has not been easy on either side. We've seen it through the transition with Nick Foles, and we've also seen it especially through this Eagles team that has been depleted, their roster depleted by injuries, and Carson trying to make the most of it. And so is Doug Peterson. So I'm actually applauding Coach Peterson for, like, not taking the bait and condemning his friend, but also making sure people understand he still has a job to do. Because guess what? They're in the lead in the NFC East. They're still in the lead.
God, we're going to continue to laud the Eagles for doing something there that seems like the consolation prize of the NFL at this point. But like
someone's
got to
win.
Someone's got to win that division. And Janae, I look at this and I actually think Doug Peterson probably should have done more to stamp this out in this situation. Because Brett Favre can be your friend all he wants. You've got a quarterback to manage right now on a team that is struggling, on a team where he's the best non-injured player that you've probably got at this point, depending on how healthy Jason Peters is on a given week playing left tackle for them. Because he went on to say, please don't put words in my mouth. He was asked a couple of times about this and said, please don't put words in my mouth or we're going to have a problem. Carson's our guy, bottom line, end of story. But how long it took to get there at that point, because Chiney, Nick Foles hadn't been there for a while. We are through the Jacksonville experiment that went wrong because of injury, and we know what's going on in Chicago now with Nick Foles in replace of Mitchell Trubisky in that situation. And it's still been one of the worst offenses in the NFL. I don't think this is worth rehashing Carson Wentz versus Nick Foles, because we know Philly's always going to feel some type of way about this guy. The only thing I say here, Chiney, and again, looking at this in the locker room, is that was not enough of a condemnation of what was said to deter people from going to Carson Wentz and trying to start trouble here when it comes to this.
Can we take it to the field? Because it's funny how we have two Philly producers as well, Cliff and Billy. How do we feel here? Because Billy, you made your intentions clear when we were doing Book It. Like, you have one answer to this. How do you guys feel about what you're hearing from your franchise?
Well, to me, I think that I'm just confused on how people can even say that Nick Foles could be better. A guy in Nick Foles, yeah, he did help us win a Super Bowl. He did help us, you know, get there as well. But Carson really was the guy that propelled us there. He was the guy for, you know, through week 16, week 17, he got us to that point. He was an MVP caliber guy. And so people, and then when he leaves, people were wondering, oh, I don't know, can Nick Foles get us there? I was one of the people that was saying he could because of his historical game that he had against the Raiders. Like, I don't know. That's just me. That's just how I feel.
Yeah. I think you should have ditched your number two overall pick who led you to that Super Bowl run in favor of a backup quarterback who kind of got lucky during that run, piggybacking off of your number two overall pick. It doesn't make sense.
And Chiney, I think we're through even having to rewrite history on that one right now. Like, again, what's going on in Chicago is not markedly better in this situation.
Exactly.
So I think in this instance, Doug Peterson could have made life a lot easier on himself and everybody else and not ended up a thing that we're talking about today. If you just come out and say, Carson is our quarterback, plain and simple, we have no regrets about what we did here. He is the guy we have full backing of here.
So he should have gone like Bill Belichick. Like, yeah, Cam is our guy, but, you know, that's sort of hard to do too. So
it is difficult at times, but necessary in all of
those necessary for the confidence,
ways.
Yes.
Exactly. Now, coming up next, no lack of confidence in how our next guest is going to perform. Excited to talk to a Hall of Famer about a young player right now who has no issues and no lack of support in the quarterback room in Cincinnati. We will get to that after this word from ButcherBox. No one likes to go to the grocery store, period, especially during the holidays. I don't want to go right now. That's why I'm not even leaving the house. That's why there's ButcherBox. ButcherBox ships high-quality meat conveniently right to your door. From free-range organic chicken to heritage breed pork, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef, to fresh-caught seafood like salmon and scallops. ButcherBox has over 20 different cuts of meat to choose from, and their boxes ship fresh right to your door. I went off last night and made pork chops at 10 o'clock. When I tell you the juiciness of these pork chops should be illegal, it's that good. Oh my God, I still got some ready. I'm ready to go. And now, for a limited time, in addition to all that goodness, ButcherBox is knocking off a big to-do off your holiday shopping trip by giving you a free Thanksgiving turkey in your first box when you sign up at ButcherBox.com/CJR. Free Thanksgiving turkey in your first box. All you got to do is sign up at ButcherBox.com/CJR. Back after this, Chiney and Golic Jr.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiney Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Chiney turning her house into the club slowly but surely today, as we all remember fondly the times when we go out to the club, and it was a good time. Michael Jr., Chiney Agwumike, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line, and that's a darn good question, Chiney. Cliff asks that about every day around here as we talk about the before times and all of this. No idea what's going on inside the club right now. Cannot relate. We're going to try and get into the Hall of Fame club here in a second with Anthony Munoz, Hall of Fame left tackle, formerly for the Cincinnati Bengals, who's going to join us, who's here on behalf of something pretty cool. And just a chance to talk about Joe Burrow, who I felt like we spent the whole offseason not talking nearly enough about, the number one overall pick, coming off one of the best college football seasons we've ever seen. He's delivered every step of the way. But, Chiney, before we get there, got to stay in this division. We're watching Ben Roethlisberger really limp into this matchup, literally both his knees banged up, but it looks like he's going to play this weekend. Lamar Jackson's been an interesting study, though, this year, because this team only has losses to the Steelers and to the Kansas City Chiefs right now in the NFL, Chiney, but I feel like a lot of people have been down on Lamar Jackson so far this season.
Yeah, they have. I mean, you're talking to the lady who was so excited to draft him number one. Well, I didn't draft him number one, but that was my first pick when it comes to fantasy, my first year playing fantasy. And I can see why a lot of people are sort of comparing what they had in the past, because I'm going to try to pull up the stats. Yeah, last season, Lamar Jackson was the NFL MVP, obviously, and he led an offense that ranked number one in points scored and number two in total yards. Now, halfway point this season, Baltimore ranks 15th in offensive points and 23rd in yards. So there has been a dramatic drop off, even though, you know, you started this conversation talking about the division, the AFC North, they're still 6-2. And so as much as we're critical of Lamar and his play, they're still in prime position to try to, in a situation where I don't think we have the official status, right, of the Steelers, the number of players that are on the COVID reserve list potentially, and Ben being one of them. There's still prime opportunity for them to make up ground, especially. But this is a situation where I see, you know, a lot of people are critical. They aren't doing as well as they did last year, but they're still doing pretty darn good right now this year.
Yeah, Chiney, it's interesting what we're critical of in this, because we've seen Lamar Jackson's made mistakes. He's had games with a lot of turnovers that have cost them dearly. In all of this, we know the offensive line in front of him has experienced a ton of attrition, whether it was Yonder retiring before the season, the injuries to guys like Tyree Phillips and Ronnie Stanley up front. That's made life more difficult on a quarterback who came in last year and had a team that they've put together so well around him to maximize Lamar's skill sets. But then you hear him going on and talking about, all right, you know, defenses are calling out our plays. They know what they're running type thing on here. And Dominic Foxworth, I thought, weighed in on this pretty well. He was on writer for the Undefeated for us, former NFL defensive back, and a guy who knows a ton about football and what his read of the situation was. He talked about what Lamar's really suggesting when he was on earlier today.
Well, I was saying, watch out for this, watch out for that. Like, that's your job. Like, we look up tendencies all week. We study all week to be able to prepare when we see certain formations at certain places on the field, certain times in the game. It's important for the offenses to know that we're doing that also and change it up and flip their tendencies so they don't catch us. I think what Lamar is saying is that they aren't doing that. It seems to be that Lamar is making somewhat of a public criticism of the coaching staff to say that they know what we're doing and we're not adjusting. And I guess the stats would suggest that he is right, because they haven't lost all that much. I know they lost their tackle last week and they lost Hall of Fame guard Marshall Yonda. But the way that their offense has declined, I don't think is commensurate with those losses. So I think he's suggesting that they aren't as prepared for these games as the defenses that they're going against.
And it's interesting to think about that preparation for this team and what happens in this league. People scout you. People have time to spend looking at your tendencies, and people start to try and attack those as best they can. This is a league full of highly talented professionals, and we are getting ready to talk to one right now as Pro Football Hall of Famer Anthony Munoz joins us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line with the new Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. And Anthony, we appreciate the time today. You spent so many years inside, you know, this division that's such a juggernaut in the NFL, and for the Bengals now, it's Steelers week around there. Take us inside rivalry weeks in the NFL, because we know they're different than the college ranks, but these ones in particular seem to bring out the best in everybody.
Yeah, first of all, guys, thanks for having me on. You know, I've said it all along, man. When I was playing, there was just two words that were said. Wednesday morning, we'd come in from our day off on Tuesday. Wednesday was installation, and all that had to be said was Steelers week. You didn't have to say anything else. You know, when I first got in the league, they had just come off their fourth Super Bowl. They had Joe Green. They had Dwight White, L.C. Greenwood, Shell, Blunt, Blyer, Harris, Swan, Stallworth, Bradshaw. So that's all we had to say. It's Steeler week, and then we just got ready. I tell you what, you know, back then, I'm kind of old, so it was the AFC Central. You know, we had the Browns, the Oilers, and the Steelers. And, of course, like I said, the Steelers were the Steelers, man. They had the four Super Bowls in the 70s. I got there in 80. So, you know, they do. It's a rivalry game. It's a divisional game. As much as you want to say, hey, I prepare for everyone the same, I get up every week, there's just a little more that, you know, kind of gets you going when you're facing a team like the Steelers.
I've got goosebumps already. Like, that's what I love about the locker room and those games coming up. Here with Anthony Munoz, Pro Football Hall of Famer, 11-time Pro Bowler, former Cincinnati Bengal out of USC. I'm a Pac-12 girl, so I love hearing that. What are your thoughts? Well, what are your thoughts on your young quarterback in Joe Burrow so far?
I tell you what, I'm really excited. You know, I think I watched just about every one of his games last year, you know, knowing that, you know, we had a chance to have one of the top picks, and then we eventually had the number one pick. Coach Ed Orgeron, I've known for 15 to 20 years with all the years he spent at USC. Got to know him really well, so a big Ed Orgeron fan. So, you know, I was really impressed with Joe, and then all of a sudden he gets here, I'm even more impressed. Not only with only his physical ability, but, I mean, the guy's, you know, mind is phenomenal. The way he handles things, the poise, the composure, and, you know, just watching him, how he checks. I mean, you're a rookie quarterback. You're going to make mistakes. I mean, the toughest position on the football field. And the guy is handling it like a veteran. So, you know, it's been kind of a crazy year, as we all know. I haven't been able to, you know, I usually do preseason games. I'm at camp. Usually I'm watching right there at the stadium, so I got to watch kind of afar. But I've been very, very impressed. And this young man has a chance to play a lot of years in this league at a high, high level.
And we've seen it showing up already so early. You're right. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agumake. We're talking to Hall of Fame offensive tackle Anthony Munoz right now. And you mentioned that coming in and the mental side of it when you're young. We were talking before you came on about Lamar Jackson, who is experiencing, I think, some frustration right now as he feels like defenses are getting a sense of what they're doing. And coming into this league as a young player, how difficult is it when you start to realize, oh, wow, the professionals on the other side are picking up on what we're doing and maybe getting over us on us in this point?
Well, I mean, you're coming in. I came in as a 21-year-old. You're coming in as a 21, 22, 23-year-old, and you're playing against guys that have been in the league 5 to 8 years already, you know, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. You know, they've been studying. They've been in their system for a while. You know, you have to understand, man, these guys are talented. It's the cream of the crop, and it's the best in the world playing every Sunday afternoon. But you have to be mentally strong. You have to be mentally disciplined to know that, you know, if something was going on in my day or for me, I wasn't going to go out and tell people, hey, I mean, you know, Fred Dean, Leroy Selman, they know what I'm doing. How in the heck are they? No, you fix it within your team. You don't go out and start talking about teams. You know, that's how good they are mentally and physically, and you just got to make adjustments. The thing that cracks me up, and I did it when I was broadcasting, we talk about what team's going to make the best adjustments at halftime. Uh-uh, no way. Adjustments start after the first time you're on the football field. As a lineman, I was making adjustments after the first series. We were making not only personal adjustments, but, you know, offensive game plan adjustments. And you have to be able to do that, man. If you're not in a position to do that, something's going on from Wednesday to Sunday at your facility. So, yeah, these guys are good, man. It's like, you know, they're not going to give an inch physically or mentally. A lot of people think football all physical. Now, that's why you spend so much time in the classroom, watching tape, going through game plan, because it is a big part mental, and that's what's so fun about the game is the whole strategy part of it.
There's no doubt the chess match of football, the most violent chess match in the world, is an extremely great one to be able to watch and be a part of. Anthony Munoz with us here on Janae and Golic Jr. We don't have a ton of time left, but I know you're here on behalf of something really exciting that's really special this week. Can you tell us about that?
I can, and you know, we're just a day out from Veterans Day yesterday, and I mean, I want to say that I said it yesterday all day long, and I feel it all the time. Thanks for the veterans that serve this great country and give us the freedoms to do what we do. Me being able to be with you, Shanae, and Golic Jr. On this great radio show, but you know, the Ford Motor Company and the Pro Football Hall of Fame, they announced the Ford Proud to Honor Hall of Heroes. It's to honor and recognize deserving military men and women, you know, because of their hard work, their selflessness, and the commitment to excellence. Guys, we played a sport where we thought it was like the ultimate team sport. Nah, the ultimate team effort is the military. And it's exciting to be partnered with the Ford Motor Company to honor these men and women that have worn the uniform. Our first recipient of the of this great Hall of Heroes was Kathy Roth Duque. She was the founder of the Blue Star Families, and she was chosen as our first member of the Hall of Heroes. And the fun thing about it, you know, here's an organization, the Blue Star Families, that goes into communities and builds programming for, you know, military families. And Ford will be donating $10,000 worth of toys to the Blue Star Families. You can go to FordProudToHonor.com and see what this is all about. But, you know, for me personally, it's always been very, very close to my heart, you know, the military being able to help. And it, a lot of it has to do with my wife was an Army vet. She was born in Germany. Her dad, William Burns, served in the Army. Her older brother, Billy Burns, served in the Army. And then her younger brother, Patrick, served over 30 years in the Army. So anytime I get a chance to honor, to recognize men and women that have worn the uniform or they're wearing the uniform, I'm right there. You know, but if you guys are in, you're familiar with the, it used to be the U.S. Army High School All-American game. I was there for 16 years in a row with the Army, really recognizing the soldiers and then these young men that played the game. And it's great to have a partnership with the Ford Motor Company and to honor men and women, a proud Ford, proud to honor Hall of Heroes. And it's great. I love the men and women that have worn the uniform and those that are wearing the uniform, but especially our veterans. I wanted to say on behalf of our family, of course, yesterday was Veterans Day, is thank you, thank you, thank you.
On that day and every day, we should be saying
absolutely
thank you. And the way that you guys are doing that is the best that we can possibly see in this. Really awesome stuff, Anthony. We appreciate the time and the insight, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you again very soon.
Hey, let's do it again. Thank you.
Anthony Munoz, Hall of Fame left tackle with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. All right, coming up next, we'll hit you with a one and done that's coming from the college football world, a silver lining to everything we've been through this year. Next.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The bass in these headphones is incredible. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We had a great time talking to Anthony Munoz, which means we got to move quick right now. And that's good because it's time to get something off my chest, a silver lining that we have been searching for
here
in the world of sports. Cliff, hit the one.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
Go off, King.
Oh, my God. After that hair comment, searching for a way to get back on my good side here. But today, right, we have all been searching this year for a way to look for anything that we can take with us going forward. The pandemic's presented so many unique challenges, but it's presented opportunities to find ways that we can be better going forward. And I saw this tweet from Nicole Arbach, who's joined the show a few times, does a great job covering college football for The Athletic. And she tweeted this. Because we know in the Big Ten, that 21-day return to play for athletes that test positive, part of that is the post-COVID infection cardiac testing. And she tweeted, the post-infection routine cardiac testing put in place in 2020 discovered an existing heart abnormality in TCU quarterback Max Duggan and HCM, which is a rare heart disease or heart disorder, in Penn State running back Journey Brown. HCM is rare, but also a leading cause of sudden cardiac death in athletes under 35. And so she pointed this out, and I think it's worth repeating, that as we see this cardiac screening that so many people fought for when myocarditis became one of the words that we talked about relative to this disease in young people, that maybe we look at this and say, now going forward, does this become more of the norm? If we're going to continue to spend tons of money around all different parts of high-level athletics, why not spend to make sure that this testing becomes a routine part of life for athletes stepping on campus? That if we're going to bring these people in to grow and develop them, why don't we do it in the ways that matter, protecting their health and wellness so that we don't have to find out in ways that are tragic down the road? I can say we got to supplement our own snaps in here.
I really love that because, you know, as a professional, we were mandated to have, you know, extensive heart testing. And that was one of the things that I really enjoyed, knowing that we got the full benefits of that. And now maybe this is something that we've realized, hey, we need to create this feature for the collegiate athletes moving forward, because this is what you need. This is the information you would love to have, especially if you're choosing to be an athlete.
This is because Journey Brown announced he's retiring from football. He was able to make this decision safely because he had information on something as important as what's going on inside of your chest. And I think we need to keep making sure that we keep that the priority. If we've learned so much about this year, that health and safety needs to remain at the forefront. We will try and keep that at the forefront for us here. Coming up next, it's Shanae and Gold Jr.